I figure if you could squeeze the Bible as you would an orange, it would be love that dripped from its pages. We read about love all throughout the entirety of God's Word. But as we speak about love in our day-to-day lives and we hear the actions that this love produces, we have a hard time sometimes reconciling that and that idea of love with what we find in the pages of God's Word. We distort many times what love really is. Even our English word love, when we go back to the original language, the Greek that the New Testament is in, and we look at the various forms of that word throughout that, sometimes even then we can get used to those. For instance, I'm sure most of y'all are familiar with the large yellow building that is in the middle of the town. It says agape on it. Most people that are semi-religious at all are familiar with the term agape, and they say, "Oh, that is what a term that religious people use, something love, something." And we say, "Well, that's Christian love." Well, the problem with just saying, "Oh, well, that's Christian love," is so many times you see people who claim to be Christians living more like the world than they do Christ. When you do that, it's just as hard to understand what that type of love is supposed to be. We find in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, Paul telling Timothy, "Now the purpose of the commandment is love, from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from a sincere faith." The purpose of the commandment is love. That commandment he's talking about is God's Word. The purpose of the commands that God laid forth, ultimately, the end result is supposed to be love. That if God's Word is preached in its entirety and if it's obeyed, the result, the ending result, will be love. Many times when I have a hard time finding out what something is, especially when I ask one of the kids, "Mac, what do you have there? What is that?" If he opens up his hand and shows it to me, and I'm still not 100% sure what he has, where did you get that? Maybe if I know where he got it from, there's something that with a relationship will help to guide me to understand what it is and if he needs to go wash his hands or not. Many times, when we don't know what something is, if we look at where to find it, we can better come to understand its meaning. Here, love. The purpose of the commandment is love. Said you find it, it comes from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. I want to look at these three briefly this afternoon. A pure heart. When we talk about a heart, we use that terminology, say the heart of a man. Let's get to the heart of the matter, the very essence of it, what's really going on. We say, well, in my heart of hearts, what am I saying? Who I really am, my inward man, my heart of hearts, the heart of the matter. But here it says a pure heart. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, we're told, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." How we really are inside, who we really are, ultimately will come out. If I'm around you long enough, I will come to know who you are. I find I am horrible at first impressions in really getting who people really are. And I don't know if I make a very good impression. I'm really not sure. But after a while, as you build a relationship, when you speak to one another and you're around people, you come to know who someone really is, where their heart is. This word, pure, in the original Greek, it means that which is unmixed. That means it has been tainted with nothing. There's nothing else in it except for the original. It is pure, untainted. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, we're told, "As newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, Desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. That's what produces purity in the heart of a Christian. Love, wherefrom? A pure heart, who we really are, knowing that it comes from God. Love from a pure heart, a good conscience. Now, a conscience is something that we throw around this terminology, but many times it's hard for me to understand what is really being said, what a conscience really is. And I've studied this term for quite some time, and it's still I'm still coming to understand what it is. The literal translation of this word would be joint knowledge. Now, the conscience is deep down knowing the difference between right and wrong. When there's that feeling comes up, I don't like this, this isn't right. That's our conscience. There's a knowledge, an inner knowledge that seems innate, like we were born with it. There's a reason for that. It's because God created us. People can understand the difference between right and wrong. So many times you hear in a court of law, the lawyer will be arguing, well, they just didn't know. There was a case up in the Metroplex of a young man that killed a few people while driving drunk. And he got off on because his lawyer argued that he had affluenza. You see, his parents were so wealthy that they neglected to actually teach him anything in life, and because of that, he just doesn't know any better. I'm sure most people realize that killing someone's wrong, that getting into a car intoxicated and driving is wrong, that you shouldn't do it. This young man understood undoubtedly what he did. We know the difference between right and wrong. A conscience, a good conscience. It's interesting. There are several words in the original Greek that can be translated and that are translated good. This one here, it means what is intrinsically good. That it is, by its very nature, something that is good. It has nothing but goodness in it. A good conscience. A good conscience. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, we're told, then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. James 1:17 says, every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. Everything that is good because of God. Because God is good and God created all things. If it's good, it comes from God. A good conscience is the product of a godly person. When we know that we are indeed being obedient to God's word, a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. That word faith, it means to come to trust. In 1 John chapter 5, starting in verse 4, we're told, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. He who overcomes the world, who is he who overcomes the world, but he who believes Jesus is the Son of God. Our faith, our understanding, when we come to trust in God and understand what he has done for us, that through Christ we might have the hope of salvation. If we truly come to believe that, if we have faith in that, That is what is being preached throughout the entire New Testament. But not just faith. We looked at this morning in class. People that have faith, that they know what has happened in the past. They understand that God is real, but when the going gets rough, they fail. Their faith fails. A sincere faith. It's interesting, this word sincere here, it comes from the Greek word that we literate hypocrite, hypokritos. We just merely take the Greek word there and put it in English letters, and it's hypocrite, right? Well, this word here is, you just put an alpha privative. For those of English majors, just as in the Greek, the English has the same, that if you put an A or A-N in front of the word, it negates it, right? Like agnostic as opposed to gnostic. A gnostic is someone that has special knowledge. I know. An agnostic is someone that doesn't know, right? Well, that's what the word here is. Someone who is not a hypocrite. The original term in the Greek, a hypocrite, it means an actor. Someone who is putting on a show. I'm a hypocrite. I'm lying. This is only for show. I don't really feel this way. This is not who I really am. But this is not what he's saying. This is not a hypocrite. This is not a mere show. It's a sincere faith. It is a real, a living faith. Where does love come from? A pure heart? A pure heart that is developed through a love of God's word. A good conscience comes from obeying that word. And a sincere faith comes when we truly trust and believe in God's word. Where does love ultimately come from? 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 7, it says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." The world's idea of what love is isn't necessarily what God's idea of love is. We can see the effects of love, what love produces, what true love produces. We know who God is, or we can know who God is, and we can know what He expects of us. The question is, are we willing to do what it takes? You see, that word agape, it's a reasoned love. It's a rational love. I actually have to work to develop it. It's not inherent. We aren't born with agape love. There are several types of love that are inherent in people. The love between a parent and a child, that develops naturally. The love between a husband and a wife, it doesn't take a whole lot to attract a boy and a girl once they get to a certain time in life, you know? Christian love, agape love, is not like that. We have to want to have it. The thing is, it's also a command. We are commanded to love. Christ said, John 14, 15, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." We can know if we love. We can know if we grow in love. If we can know that, that means it's possible to do more, to do better. I know I can. I know we all could. There's not one of us that's there. Even Paul said he wasn't there. We can always do better. We can always do more. Do you know what love is? Do you really know what the love that the Bible teaches is? Study this. This is something that I've studied a good bit, and I still have a long ways to go. It's something that each one of us needs to study. This, the most important subject that we can. If there's anyone here this afternoon that realizes that you have not had the love for God that you should, that the world has gotten a hold of you and has turned you away from that, we have an opportunity. God loves us. We are told that He loved us first. We have the opportunity to go to Him always, to ask for forgiveness, and to start anew. If you have a need, if there's anything that we can do for you, we want to help you, because we do. We as Christians love one another, and we want to help and do whatever we can. If you have a need, anything at all, we'd encourage you to please come as we stand and sing the song of invitation.